Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm John Kuzma. This is a special edition of the Betting Blueprint by EndZoneBlog.com. I'm going to turn it over to Michael Galb, who's the host of our show. Michael, are you there? Hello, Michael? Michael, what's up?
You hear me?
Yeah, I got you. You're in.
Okay, cool. All right, what's going on? Glad to be here. What we're going to do today is we're going to talk about a few coaches on the rise and a few coaches on the fall who could be in the hot seat after the season. So let me get started with a coach who I think could make a big improvement this year. And I'm going to start with the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan. I think he's an offensive genius. We saw what he's done in offensive coordinator, especially in Atlanta. And Matt Ryan had his MVP season with him. He goes to San Francisco, and he struggled a little bit because he didn't really have his quarterback. But now that they've got Jimmy Garoppolo, they won, I believe, 5 straight games. And they started out 1-10, ended up 6-10, not even that bad of a year. They really found a leader in Garoppolo. Now that Kyle Shanahan has his guy, I think we're going to see how great of a coach he really is and just how smart he is. Another example is Kirk Cousins had a great year in Washington with Kyle Shanahan, and he just makes his quarterback so much better. His offenses are great. He's a great leader, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the 49ers in the playoffs this year. So Kyle Shanahan's my first coach on the rise. What do you got, John?
I'm right there with you, Michael. Kyle Shanahan, one of the coaches who's definitely on the rise, who's going to probably have one of the biggest gains as far as coaching legacy goes this upcoming season. And when you look at him and you look at the Atlanta Falcons now and what they are after he left, you know, they're just struggling to find their identity. It wasn't like that at all when Kyle Shanahan was there. Steve Sarkisian is doing everything he can to just maintain something, and he's so far behind what Kyle Shanahan brought to the table. So I agree with you, Kyle Shanahan, his X and O's and his creative play calling put this guy on another level. Like you said, Jimmy Garoppolo's coming in. They're definitely trending in the right direction.
Definitely. So for my second coach I have, he's actually a new coach, is Pat Shurmur from the New York Giants. And the reason I say this is because he had a lot of success as the offensive coordinator in Minnesota last year. We saw what he did with Case Keenum. We saw what he did with Nick Foles in Philly. That was the season when Nick Foles threw 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's known for making average quarterbacks play above average and play very well. That's what he's known for. He got the job in New York, and the reason I say he's actually turning upwards is because he's got Eli, he's got Odell, he's got Barkley, he's got Shepard, he's got Ingram. He's already got a pretty good defense. They hired a Betcher to be their defensive coordinator, who around the league is known as a very good defensive coordinator. And also, I don't think there's a lot of pressure in New York. I know that's surprising to say, not a lot of pressure in New York. Just because they were 3-13 last year, if Pat Shurmur comes in and has some success and just gets away from the debacle of what was the Ben McAdoo era in New York Giants and just shows some success on offense, and they win, say, 7-8 games, then people are going to say, wow, Pat Shurmur is probably going to be the guy. He team that can lead this team to a playoffs maybe the year after. And, you know, once they maybe can find Eli's successor, then they say, this guy is going to be the guy. This guy's going to lead us to the playoffs every year. And they can put the New York Giants back on the map. So the expectations aren't crazy high for the Giants next year. If they win 8 games, then people are going to say, wow, they're 8-8. They're on the rise. Next year coming up, they're going to be even better. They're going to be a playoff contender. So he just needs to have some success. And we've seen him do it before in Minnesota and Philly and other places. So really excited to see what he can do. I think that's my second coach on the rise.
Okay, my second coach on the rise is going to surprise you a little bit. I'm going with Hugh Jackson in Cleveland. I think he's had like 1 win and like 31 losses over like the last 2 seasons. But he gets the best running back on free agent available in Carlos Hyde. He gets Josh Gordon back full-time, Jarvis Landry, Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield's in the, waiting in the stables to eventually come take over this team, although we don't know how long that's going to take. But Hugh Jackson has been awful these last two seasons, but now he has all these weapons to improve his situation. There's really no place to go for Hugh Jackson but up. So I definitely think Hugh Jackson is going to improve a lot this year. Will he be able to hold off being fired? We'll see, you know.
It's an interesting one. And just in a few minutes, I've got a take on that one. Okay.
Okay. So,
and my third coach on the rise, I'm going to go with Bill O'Brien out of Houston. Deshaun Watson's coming back. I think Bill O'Brien has always been a good coach. He took Matt Schaub to the playoffs, I believe twice. And just if they get healthy, they're a great team. He struggled last year and only won four games last year because Tom Savage was his guy. Their defense wasn't great. And Houston's always had a good defense. And just all of a sudden last year, they just – injuries just everywhere. J.J. Watson hurt for a while. You know, now they're going to get Clowney back. He's going to be healthy. J.J. Watt's going to be healthy, hopefully. Deshaun Watson's going to be healthy. I thought they had a decent draft and some help in the secondary. The secondary's not great, but it's good enough.
They got the Honey Badger.
They definitely got the Honey Badger. That's going to be a huge addition there at safety. So I think Bill O'Brien, I think Houston's going to be a playoff team this year. I think we're actually going to be able to see Bill O'Brien do stuff. What I admire the most about Bill O'Brien is a lot of coaches, at least old school coaches, they say, when they get these kind of running quarterbacks or dual threat guys, and they say, no, you have to sit in the pocket. You have to do what I'm telling you. You have to run my system. But Bill O'Brien said, no, Deshaun Watson, you're good at all of this. You're good at A, B, and C. So we know what we're going to do. We're going to run A, B, and C. And I think that had a lot to do with the success of Deshaun Watson when he was healthy. A lot of RPOs, able to scramble at times, putting him in situations to be successful, and kind of just getting over the fact that I'm the coach, you run my system, more of the fact, no, you're the player, I'm going to help you be successful by doing the things that you're good at.
Playing to his strengths, I like it.
Yep.
My next coach on the rise is Doug Marrone from Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville is loaded. You know, they get Moncrief, they get Austin Seferian Jenkins, who's actually been looking really good in camp so far. Defensively, they get Tavon Bryan and the draft. So their defensive line is just on another level, probably the best defensive line in the league. And I just think because of all this talent, that's going to help Doug Marrone take the next step because he doesn't even have to be a great play caller on either side of the ball. He can just roll the ball out and let all this talent do the coaching for him. And what I mean by that is they're going to put up wins. So no matter what, it's going to make Doug Marrone look like a better coach than he is. So because of that, I think he's going to be on the rise.
I 100% agree. He was the guy I was thinking about putting on my list. Wasn't able to put him on, but I'm a big fan of what he's got going on in Jacksonville because they got a great team going on. So now we're going to move on to some coaches that could potentially be on the downfall, some coaches you might see on the hot seat after the season. There's always coaches fired at the end of the season. Some of them we expected. Some of them can be very surprising. So, John, I'm going to actually let you go. I'm going to let you start this one. Give me your first coach you think could be on the downfall or could be on the hot seat after the season.
He's not going to be on the hot seat, but he very could take a downfall a little bit, and that's Bill Belichick. And one of the reasons Bill Belichick take a little bit of a downfall is because there's so much chaos surrounding the Patriots right now. Tom Brady's disgruntled. Rob Gronkowski's disgruntled. Really through all this, Dante Hightower's been the guy who's been stepping up and being the leader and trying to silence all the drama going on. And when Brady and Gronk, the guys that have been there forever, aren't, you know, stepping up and being the leader and being the face of the team, I just think that's not a good formula for the Patriots. Even though they went to the Super Bowl last year, they didn't get it done. And Belichick is risking alienating some of the players in his locker room. So because of that, I'm worried about the Patriots. And Bill Belichick could take a little bit of a hit this upcoming season.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Malcolm Butler thing really hurt a lot of the players.
Absolutely.
Just because when you think Patriots, it's Tom Brady take a pay cut, Rob Gronkowski take a pay cut, run my system, do my thing, don't talk to the media. You know, there's really not a lot of fun there. It's run my system, win games. And then the players see they're out there trying to win a Super Bowl, then they see their best defenders not on the field because of reasons we still don't know. The coach did that. So the players are kind of saying, whoa, we did all these things for you. You need to help us. And it just isn't happening. I think that's caused a lot of dysfunction to that organization.
Absolutely. You nailed it.
So my first coach on the downfall is actually going to be Hugh Jackson, who you think is on the rise, which I understand why you say at 0-16 you can't go down. The reason I say this is because a lot of the chatter from these quarterbacks that just got drafted, when you look at guys like Sam Darnold, what are the Jets saying about him? They say, oh, this guy, he's great. You know, he's taking third-string reps, but he can compete for starting jobs. We really like what we see. When you go to Buffalo and see Josh Allen, they're saying, wow, he's got arm talent. He's unbelievable. Go to Arizona, they're saying – what they're saying about Josh Rosen, they say, hey, this kid's just as good as Sam Bradford, if not better. What are they saying about Lamar Jackson Baltimore? They're saying he's a young Mike Vick. But what are they saying about Baker Mayfield in Cleveland? They're not saying anything. They're saying, wow, Tyrod Taylor, he's the leader of the team. He's the guy. That worries me because we saw what Tyrod Taylor did in Buffalo, and I was on the Tyrod Taylor bandwagon for the longest time. But until last season, I had to jump off, and I was like, look, Tyrod Taylor's just not good. He holds the ball too long. I don't think he's ever thrown 300 yards in a game before. This Browns team, they have talent, and it's not necessarily Hugh Jackson's fault that they went 0-16. But I just think there's too much dysfunction there. I think Baker Mayfield pick might take a little bit longer than people hoped for. I think they're going to roll out with Tyrod Taylor for the first 8 weeks or so, you know, a lot longer than people may have expected. I know they got a good receiving core, but to me, receivers don't win you a lot of games. Their offensive line is not great. And they got Carlos Hyde, but I don't think they're going to run the ball that well. I don't see a lot of changes from last year, and I think eventually what's going to happen is there's going to be too much dysfunction, and John Dorsey, the new general manager, is going to want to bring in his guy next year, and I think maybe they win 3-4 games, and then Hugh Jackson will get fired and put Baker Mayfield behind the eight ball again, getting a new coach in. So I think Hugh Jackson's actually on the downfall, and actually has a lot to do with the Baker Mayfield pick, whether that was his choice or not, whether that was his guy. If you want me to talk draft, I can talk draft for hours. But I think that's going to be the downfall of Hugh Jackson.
Okay. My next guy in the downfall is Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll is such a good coach, but he ships off all his great players. Jimmy Graham leaves, Michael Bennett leaves, Richard Sherman leaves. And now we're kind of like, where do the Seahawks go from here? They have to regain their identity as a football team. I think that's going to take probably 5 or 6 weeks to do so. I'm just worried about Pete Carroll and what he's going to do out west in Emerald City. I just don't know how it's going to end up being a better season for the Seahawks. So Pete Carroll, I think, is going to take a little bit of a hit this year. Probably will be the second straight year he hasn't gone to the playoffs.
Most definitely. The one thing I want to say about Pete Carroll is he's a player's coach. You know, he lets his players – he's almost like a polar opposite of Bill Belichick. And I think we saw that it worked for a while. But I think when you give the players too much power – then these things start happening, and then contracts start expiring, and the front office says, hey, we want you at a lower contract, but these players feel like they have so much power that they've always had, and now they're trying to get it taken away from them, and they need to take pay cuts. And I think it can help you get to the top, but I think being such a player's coach, it can lead to your downfall as well. So I think that's what's hurting them so far. So my next coach on the downfall is Dirk Koetter from Tampa Bay. He was on the hot seat at the end of this year. Some people thought he might get fired after last season, after a disappointing year. Two seasons ago, they almost made the playoffs. First time in a while, we were thinking, oh, Buccaneers could be the real deal. And then disappointing season last year, they finished last place in their division. They got to have a great year for him to keep his job. They're in a really tough division. But Jameis Winston needs to get healthy. He's got to play well. Their defense, they just drafted Vita Vea to bolster that defensive line. They traded for Jason Pierre-Paul. So they've got something there. They got to get after the pasture. They still don't have a great secondary. They've got to have some type of success this year because they're sitting in the division. They say, Falcons just went to the Super Bowl. Hey, Saints got Drew Brees. They just won the division in 11 games. Hey, Panthers went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and now they're winning 11 games again, and here we are back winning, you know, 6-7 games every year like Tampa's been doing for a while. They need to improve. Dirk Koetter's got to take that team. I don't necessarily think they need to make the playoffs, but They've got to show some improvement. They've got to be in the run for playoffs, for playoff appearance. And I think Jameis Winston has to play well. He was hurt last year. He's got to prove that he was worth that number one overall pick. He did 2 years ago. He played great last season. He fell off a little
not
bit.
So
they
much.
Need Jameis Winston to play well, and they need that defense to step up. So Dirk Cutter is my second coach that could be on the hot seat after this season.
I think another coach that's going to be trending downwards, I'm worried about Dan Quinn. I think he's a great coach. I think after the Super Bowl when they lost, how he went on TV and just shows how much character he has. And, you know, he kind of kept morale high through that trying time. And I was like, wow, this guy is a true leader. But at the same time, you know, Julio Jones is disgruntled. They're taking a step back with Steve Sarkisian. They look like they're trending in the wrong direction. And I think that's going to hurt Dan Quinn a little bit. I think he's got a lot to deal with. Maybe he's a surprise team and, you know, they get it back on track. But if not, he's going to have a lot of pressure mounting against him.
Yeah, that's actually surprising. I never really thought of it just because, you know, the Falcons have been great the last few years. But, you know, now that you're saying it, it makes sense. It does. It makes a lot of sense. That could be something to watch down in Atlanta. My third coach that could be in the hot seat, Adam Gase out of Miami. That team is just, it seems like a bunch of overpaid guys who don't fit well. We saw that with Ndamukong Suh, even though they got rid of him. But they're bringing Ryan Tannehill back. He's coming off an ACL injury. And Tannehill's never been a great quarterback. I think he's just a guy who's a little bit better than Blake Bortles. You know, they don't have Jay Ajayi anymore. Are they going to be able to run the ball? I don't know. Now they have Kenyon Drake, he had a decent rookie year. But they don't have a lot of talent. Their defense isn't great. They really don't have a quarterback. Adam Gase is a smart guy. I just don't think the front office helped him at all. I think he's a very good offensive coordinator. I don't know what Miami's going to do next year. Luckily, they're not in a good – I mean, they play the Patriots, but they're not in a good division. I think they might be able to pull a couple wins there. I think that would be the only way that he may be able to keep his job. I just fear they just don't have the talent to compete with some other teams, to compete with playoff teams. And, you know, he took the team to the playoffs a few years ago, which was remarkable. But I just feel the front office failed him on this one. He's going to try to do his best, but I think ultimately at the end of the season, you know, maybe they win 5-6 games. They're going to be looking for a new coach come January.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. He's such a good X-Nose guy, but he doesn't seem to know how to manage talent very well. And, you know, that's costing him down there. So I agree 100% with that.
Yeah, some coaches are really good coordinators, but then you got to put up a head coach, and it's just, you know, it just doesn't connect. It's just not there, you know. It's a big difference people don't realize.
I agree. That's what the problem is, too. That lack of connection between him and his players is really what's unraveling Gase in Miami.
Yeah. And what I want to do, I want to ask you just kind of on the spot real quick, who is the one coach who you may think just surprised everybody and just have a great year, or a guy who everybody thinks is going to be great and just going to take a downfall, or just something like that? Just give me one coach, just give me a name, you know, a sentence or two about it. I'm just putting you on the spot here. So I just wanted to see what you got for me.
I believe in Sean McVay. I mean, the guy is a creative genius as far as offensive play calling goes, and now he's got all that talent. I think Sean McVay is going to light it up this year. You know, I've been a firm Rams believer all offseason, so McVay for sure.
Definitely. If I had to say mine, I'm actually going to go with John Gruden, and I just think he's not going to be as successful as people think. You know, he was a great coach back then when he won his Super Bowl in Tampa, when he was with the Raiders before. I just think he's very old school, and the NFL is moving to the new school. The Raiders had four players above the age 29 before he came in. Now they have 13. And they had two different draft boards this year, which is unheard of. They had their general manager was trying to convince the front office to pick one guy, while John Gruden was trying to convince the front office to pick another guy while they were on the clock. That's something you do weeks before the draft. They do that on the clock and trying to mix and match their board. To some people, so that's whatever. It's a draft. Yeah. But to me,
they have
conflicting agendas. Junkie. Yes, when to a draft junkie like me, that's unheard of. That's the most concerning draft rumor I've probably ever heard. Just showing that the John Gruden wants to take control. He's kind of getting it. McKenzie, the general manager, is kind of getting it, but they're button heads right now, and they're getting older. I didn't like their draft at all. And Derek Carr's got – he had a bad year last year. He's got to have a great year for them to compete. And I'm afraid that Gruden's old-school approach to the game, and he doesn't really like rookies. He likes his veterans. I'm kind of afraid that, you know, when you get veterans, what do veterans do? They're great in the locker room, they're great in the field, but they're more prone to get hurt. If they get hurt, Derek Carr doesn't have a great year, you're going to be like, oh, okay, maybe John Gruden wasn't the best hire just because he's been out of the game for so long. That's my surprise downfall, coach.
Okay. I hear you. So, you know, maybe the decade away from the game is just too much for him to overcome and just never gets it back.
Yeah, I was a little sad that he got the job because I loved watching him on Monday Night Football. I thought he was always a funny guy. And I loved watching his QB camps with the new incoming draft
awesome.
Rookies. I loved watching that with him. So definitely a smart football guy, of course. I think his son, Jay Gruden in Washington, I think he's a very successful coach. I like what he's got going on.
Isn't that his brother?
Is it his brother?
Yeah, it's his brother.
It is his brother. I'm thinking Shanahan. It's Kyle Shanahan's Mike Shanahan's son. That's what
Mike
it is.
Shanahan. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You're good.
Yeah. I mix those dudes up. Yeah. So, is there anything else you want to say?
No. I think we did pretty well on this one.
Yeah. So, real quick, I want to talk to you guys about the betting blueprint. This is going to be coming around training camp. It's going to be great for you guys. We got a lot of information coming to you, a lot of statistics, everything you need to know when it comes to betting. We've got it for you guys. More information will be coming out. A lot of stuff you're going to see on Twitter. You're going to see it on our blog. It's going to be there for you. Really hope you guys like it. We're going to continue to keep working on it. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Thank you guys for visiting our website. Thank you for everything we've done. Couldn't have done without you. And we hope you're here for the long run because we've got some great stuff coming. We're really excited for our future here, and we hope that you join us on that run too. So thank you guys for everything. John, I think we did good today.
We're good. I'm all good on my end. Yep.
All right.
Good
thank you.
Go.
I'll speak to you soon.
All right. Take care, Mike. Take care.